Morning. So about a year ago, I got the opportunity to do a study with Aiken Lee and his wife Sarah and a few others here on the rest of the gospel. And the things that God showed me through this study absolutely changed the way I view life, go about my daily business, the way I view everything. And John and I were speaking the end of last year about the gospel study that he was going to be doing for the year. And he asked me if I'd be interested in sharing. As nervous as I am, I never been one to say no to an opportunity to share God's word. So here we are. And I hope and pray that God will use this to touch everybody here. So let's jump right in to Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. I'll be reading from the Holman Christian Standard Bible. It will be on the screen. So here we have Paul speaking. He says, "I have become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you, to make God's message fully known, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. Glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, his strength that works powerfully in me." Let's look back at John chapter 14, verse 19. Here we have Jesus speaking. He says, "In a little while, the world will see me no longer, but you will see me. Because I live, you will live too. In that day, you will know that I am in my Father, you are in me, and I am in you." I am in you. Those are Jesus' words. Let's look at Galatians 2:20. Again, we have Paul writing. "And I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live, I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Got a central theme here, guys. It's Christ in us. Christ living in us, to live as us, through us, is the only hope we have of experiencing the glory God intends for our lives. Christ in us is the abundant life. God has chosen to glorify himself and eternally manifest his glory by living his life in and through a host of sons and daughters, us. We want to look not at the glory we receive from God, but the glory he receives through us. What exactly does this mean for us, guys? How do we apply this to our everyday walk? How do we rest in this truth of Christ in us? Let's turn to some more scripture. Let's go to Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. "Set your minds on what is above, not on what is on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with the Messiah in God." For you have died. Let's look also at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. "Therefore, we do not give up. Even though our outer person is being destroyed, our fleshly bodies, our inner person is being renewed day by day. For our momentary light affliction is producing for us an absolutely incomparable eternal weight of glory. So we do not focus on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Set your minds on what is above." The last verse here, verse 18, contains two very important truths to living this life of rest in Christ. The first truth talks about things that are seen and temporary, like our bodies, this earth, our jobs, our money, our problems. It's all temporary. While the second talks about things unseen and eternal, like the kingdom of God. Now, I want you to imagine or visualize a line drawn on a piece of paper right through the center. Now, above that line, we have the eternal, the unseen. Below the line, we have the seen and temporal. Now, these two realms, they coexist. But as born-again believers, we have the privilege of living an unseen and eternal life in the midst of the seen and temporal world. The eternal realm is changeless and timeless. It is the realm of ultimate reality where things are finished and settled. The eternal realm can be illustrated by the phrase, I am, where things simply are. While this seen and temporary realm, it's a created realm of matter and appearances. It has a beginning and an end. It is the realm of past, present, future, birth, life, and death. It's a realm of activity, process, need. It's a realm where we say, I want to grow in Christ, where we see both good and evil. So the unseen and eternal is a realm of I am. The seen and temporal is I am becoming. Now, lucky for us, at the appointed time, the great I am wrapped himself in a body of flesh, left the eternal, and entered the seen and temporal realm that he had created. John 1:14. The word became flesh and took up residence among us. The changeless, timeless one became a seen and temporal man. As a man, Jesus experienced all that we experience here in this seen and temporal. He had a past, a present, and a future. He experienced growth both as a child and as an adult. He had needs. In a similar way, we as God's children live both above the line in the eternal and below the line in the temporal. The verse that best illustrates this is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14. For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. He has perfected for all time, or eternally perfected, those of us who are being sanctified here in this temporal. God has already perfected those of us who are in Christ. We are already complete in him. Colossians 2:10. And you have been filled by him who is the head over every ruler and authority. I don't know about you guys, but being filled by God sounds pretty complete to me. We are holy and blameless before him. Colossians 1:22. But now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. And of course, we are his righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Guys, those became true of us in the unseen and eternal, in our spirit, in God's kingdom, the moment we said yes to Jesus and were justified. Those are the eternal, unchanging truths of our identity as brand new creations, as sons and daughters whom God has birthed. However, in this seen and temporal realm, we're in the process of being sanctified. We have needs, our emotions fluctuate, and our behaviors change. We experience growth. The distinction, though, between the two realms is vital for three very important reasons. First off, understanding the distinction between the eternal and the temporal gives us the privilege of looking through and past this seen and temporal to the unseen and eternal. By the Spirit of God within, we discern what, from God's perspective, is taking place in this seen and temporal around us. It's how Jesus lived. He lived in another kingdom, and he invites us to do the same. 1 John 2:6. He that says he is in him should walk just as he walked. The second distinction is important because it enables us to understand our true identity in Christ. As believers, our failures, our sins, shortcomings, which are all below the line temporal realities, they constantly confront us. Unless we understand our true eternal identity that God gave us the moment we said yes, we will habitually draw our identity from our performance, whether good or bad. Our focus will be on ourselves, trying to clean up our act, look good enough for God to accept, or trying to impress others. And unfortunately, that's where most Christians are living, trying to become something we already are. Guys, we have it backwards. In God's economy, in this seen and temporal, we become because in the eternal, we already are. As we know and rest in this unseen and eternal truth, God manifests that truth in the visible around us. In the unseen, we are complete in Christ. In the seen, we're becoming complete, or Christ-like. And third, The distinction between the two is vital, because God has designed us so that we can only find fulfillment in the unseen and eternal, in Him. The temporal realm is full of many pleasures that God has provided, but none of them ultimately satisfy. That's why Jesus says in John chapter 6, verse 35, that I am the bread of life. No one who comes to me will ever be hungry, and no one who believes in me will ever be thirsty again. We only find true life above, in the eternal, in God. He is our life. We're programmed for failure if we're looking for answers anywhere but the eternal. We end up worshiping the creature instead of the creator. We must look to what God has done and not what we're doing. Guys, hear me now. Our life of faith, our true identity, and our fulfillment in life are all based in the unseen and eternal. Problem is, we can't see that realm or learn of it through observations and experiences. We must look to God's Spirit to reveal them to us. God's Spirit must be the teacher. Currently, God's unseen and eternal kingdom is within us, and yet to come, as Matt shared a few weeks ago. And as believers, we live below the line in the temporal, but we're not really below the line people. We are of God's kingdom. Unfortunately, we live in a realm of temporal appearances that differ from what God sees in the eternal. And spiritual growth, sanctification, simply a process of replacing these temporal appearances with eternal realities and living out of it. As we know inner life, the life of the Spirit, we can't help but live it. We don't do anything but live what we believe. And as we understand the unseen and eternal realm, we live it. And as we live it, we become less and less oriented towards the seen and temporal. It exercises less control over us. Paul tells us, Romans chapter 6, that we died to sin and are free from it. As that's an unseen and eternal truth. Nothing in this world tells us we're free from sin. Everywhere you look, there's sin. Everywhere. We died to sin and are free from it. It's an unseen and eternal truth. Sin no longer has any power over us. But if we don't understand that unseen and eternal truth, sin will still exercise power over us. Because we're caught in that trap again, trying to become something we already are, free from sin. We'll never know the abundant life until the unseen and eternal is home to us in our everyday life. Until then, we'll be living according to appearances, and appearances will never take us deeper into the life of God. Only faith will. Guys, God wants to bring us to a point where we say, I live by what God says about the things in my life, situations, people, and myself. Then we start to discern that situations are not as they appear, but that God's absolutes are operating in a realm of appearances. We rest in the unseen and eternal, and we experience His fullness within us. We rest in His eternal. Now, in our daily lives, one of the most important things we can know from the unseen and eternal is that we and God are one, or in union. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. But anyone joined to the Lord is one spirit with Him. God has permanently joined Himself to our spirit. Our spirit and He are one. The two operate as one unit. When we begin to know and live out of that truth, that we and God are one, all the promises of the New Testament, they stop being pie in the sky, and instead they become daily realities. We understand that there is no more separation. There is no more God up there and us down here. And you know, we cease striving to get closer to God, and instead we live out of what is already true. We live in union with God, pursuing deeper communion with God, who is one with us. He is our life. We have to rest in that unseen. So let's recap. God has already perfected those of us who are in Christ. We are already complete in Him. Colossians 2:10. We are holy, faultless, and blameless before Him. We are His righteousness. These are all true in our eternal identity. God has permanently joined Himself to our spirit. Our spirit and He are one. These are the eternal truths of our identity in Christ. We need to stop striving to thrive and simply let Christ live through us. looking past the temporal to the eternal in our everyday lives. That's why Paul tells us, 1 Corinthians 15:31, that he dies daily. There's no longer he that lives, but Christ that lives in him. We must accept every day by faith that the old is dead and buried and in the backyard, and it is no longer us living, but Christ living in us, just trying to live through us as us. Wonderful book I read, written by a man named William Long, 1800s. He puts it like this. We are to walk the narrow path of life as pilgrims, in frequent fasting and never ceasing prayers, in holy fear and godly aspirations, as those who are not of this world, but citizens of heaven. We are to give up ourselves wholly to God and his kingdom, presenting our bodies a living sacrifice as those that are temples of the Holy Spirit. Guys, that's what God wants from us. He wants us to daily die to ourselves and let him live through us. We rest in these eternal truths of our identity and just let God live. Thank you, guys. We're going to sing and praise our risen King one more time.